mixed martial arts and boxing fans, it's time for Fighter's Fury, Inside the Heart of a Champion, with your hosts, Brendan Tobin, Seema, and Tommy Guns. It's time for Fighter's Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It is Fighter's Fury here on 790, The Ticket. We have a new heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury. Seventh round stoppage of Deontay Wilder yesterday. The Gypsy King gets the lone belt that he has yet to hold, the WBC heavyweight title that Deontay Wilder had defended 10 times before that, and he ended up stopping who has been really the unstoppable. And a great rematch performance by Tyson Fury. And it's funny, like, you get onto these shows and it's funny, I come out of these ones where I just swing and a miss of what I think is going to happen. Like, I stepped up to the plate, it was like Giancarlo Stanton against a slider in the dirt. It was that bad a whiff on what I thought was going to happen in this fight. I told you guys last week that I thought, you know, Deontay Wilder having the experience of being in there with Tyson Fury, being a little bit bigger, I felt like it was going to be enough to have that, you know, that kind of experience, and that he'd be able to deliver that bomb at some point in the middle of the rounds, and he would stop Tyson Fury. Whoops, not even close. In fact, this is what we like to call this, the opposite result of that, because Tyson Fury actually ended up being the one stopping him in the seventh round, and that was the prediction that I had made last week, was Wilder was going to stop Fury in the seventh round. But these are the nights. I got to tell you, like, you know, a lot of people go out and they will, you know, when something completely wrong happens, they'll go and they'll blast the individual of why wrong happened. I come out of nights like this so just wildly impressed with why I was proven wrong, you know, so impressed with Tyson Fury and the performance that he put forth. This guy's amazing. He really, really is. And this is the thing that has to really impress you about Tyson Fury and what he put forth. You know, this is a guy who basically, he took a rematch. And a lot of the times rematches happen, it's a lot of the time, it seems song and dance that it was the fight before, or some element of the fight is going to be cranked up a little bit more, you know. It's, you know, if a guy wins a fight by decision, he might win it a little bit more lopsided. Or if a guy knocks somebody out or knocked him down late, he'll get to it a little bit quicker. This fight, he took the first fight against Deontay Wilder and he threw it out the window. You know, he took a fight where, and a style that is basic, that won him that lineal championship against Vladimir Klitschko, where he is hypnotizing you like a cobra. He's in and out, you know, being elusive. You know, this 6'9" giant who moves like somebody who's three weight classes lower than what he is. You know, just will jab, frustrate you, make you miss, and that's going to be his key to victory. And you know, the thing that is incredible about Tyson Fury is, a lot of people who had that much success in their career, never lost a fight. Their ability to adapt is, you know, it's not something you see very often. You saw this with Floyd Mayweather, where he switched, you know, from the pretty boy to Money Mayweather later on in life, where, like, he kind of switched a style for life. But this was, you know, for longevity. But with Tyson Fury, this was a switch of style to win a fight that he thought he had very much in hand the last time, but left enough of a window to not only say, I was half a second away from losing, and I didn't fight in a way where the three judges that matter thought that I did good enough a job. And it takes a special type of individual to take stock of that, go back into the lab, then decide you want some new chemists with you while you're making the experiment happen, and come up with this type of game plan, because that's not a Tyson Fury we see. That's not a guy who has been the guy who beat Vladimir Klitschko, who it really hasn't been his bread and butter, and he decided that the best way to beat Deontay Wilder, yeah, I could box his socks off all day. I could win on points easily. I could stay away. But maybe I slip up once. And Deontay's never been made uncomfortable. And he hits me with that shot and night-night. Instead, he did exactly what he had to do. Or did exactly what he said he was going to do. And listen, I hear a lot of fight promotion. As a guy who loves boxing, who loves mixed martial arts, a lot of things are said before fights that are complete bullcrap. This guy told you he was going to go in there, go for the knockout in the second round. He had all that weight. It was going to be trouble for Deontay Wilder. And it was. It was. He went in there. First round, you know, was really trying to impose his will. Second round was a little bit more even. You know, Deontay was flushed him a little bit with jabs to the body. It looked like he was getting his bearings about him. But it was still, you know, it was still a Deontay Wilder who was going backwards, who was never given any type of range to set up his right hand or get anything uncomfortable. He missed a couple of big bombs early. But the second round was better for him. If there was any round you were obviously going to score for Deontay, that would have been it. But then the game changer happened. That third round happens, and Deontay Wilder, he is hit and with a monster shot, puts him down, and it was curtains from there. I mean, it was very similar to Andy Ruiz versus Anthony Joshua, in that once that first knockdown happened in the third round, it was only a matter of time. It just looked like he never gathered himself. This was very similar to that. Tyson Fury puts Deontay Wilder down, and he really just never was the same guy. You start going to the corner, the ears bleeding. You never see. How often have we seen a guy's ear get broken in a fight? That's crazy. I mean, they're saying immediately, look, if his ear's bleeding like that, that means you probably have a busted eardrum. His equilibrium is going to be knocked up. And his balance was off all over the place. You know, there were a couple where, you know, him and Tyson Fury got tripped up. There were ones where he was just getting fallen. There was one body shot that Tyson Fury hit him with, which maybe it was devastating. He's a 6'9 man strong, but mostly it just seems like he was either exhaustion or bad balance from Deontay, where he got put on his ass again. It was from then on out just an absolute blowout from Tyson Fury, and a matter of time before Deontay Wilder was going to get taken out. And Tyson Fury took away a couple of elements. You know, one, he was the aggressor in this fight. He wasn't fighting side to side like he normally does. He wasn't inviting in his opponent to miss a lot of shots to tire themselves out. You know, he took that 270 pounds plus and was going forth on Deontay Wilder. He attacked a buzzsaw with a bowling ball. That's basically what happened. He went in there. You had this unbelievable force in Deontay Wilder. Really the surest thing in the sport, if we're going to be honest. Like, you talk about 43 wins, 42 knockouts, it's about as sure a thing you get in boxing. And even in his one draw, was half a second away from doing the same thing. So you take that, and if you're Tyson Fury, you think, I got robbed this time, I'll fine-tune some things, and you know, now I'll definitely put it out there. No. This guy went and he took the fight to Deontay Wilder. Took it to him. And that is what just has to be commended. Think about this. You know, Tyson Fury now has been a guy who, when he first made his comeback, had 24-year-old Ben Davidson. They had good success. It's not like it wasn't a bad plan that he had forth. Took in a little bit of tutelage from Freddie Roach, and then decides, nah, you know what? Gonna go to Kronk. Let's just scrap the plan. Let's go do something completely different. That is just so impressive to just go get a new mindset, a fresh set of eyes to take all that game planning and put forth against the same opponent who, in his mind, he beat easily the last time, but slipped up badly in that he got caught. And instead decided, I got to put him down. I can't win a decision in America, whether you believe that's true or not. I mean, you know, it was the British judge back in the last fight who gave him the draw. But he said, F all that. I'm way bigger than this guy. I'm going to come forth like a wrecking machine, and I'm just going to hit them with everything I got, and eventually one of them is going to connect, and it's going to do damage. And it is pretty weird. Like, look, his whole MO, his entire career has been weird. I mean, he's a weird individual who, at his size, fighting the way he typically does, the fact that he doesn't have this this devastating power is kind of crazy when you think about it. It's not like he doesn't have none. I mean, like, look, 30 wins, 21 knockouts. It's not nothing. I mean, he's stopped people, but, you know, for the most part, his best to get skill set at the elite levels has been his elusiveness, his guys to make people look foolish. And instead, he turned himself into the imposing force. And that's why it was so impressive from Deontay, from Tyson Fury in his win in the rematch over Deontay Wilder. It's fascinating what comes next. You know, where do they go from here? Because Deontay was taken to the hospital afterwards. That he was in bad shape. Bad shape from, you know, the busted up ear. You know, and that led to him taking a lot of beatings in the corner. I know he was pissed about his corner stopping it, his assistant trainer throwing in the towel. There was some disagreement between the head trainer and the assistant trainer for making that call, where JD said that he does, you know, we don't agree with that. I would have wanted Deontay Wilder to continue. He was taking an absolute ass kicking. If there's gonna be anybody who can have the ultimate Hail Mary, it's Deontay Wilder. But it wasn't there. He wasn't throwing any punches, and it could have gotten a lot worse. You're talking about a guy who had his eardrum busted. Well, this is a man who made a lot of money that night. He's got a lot of kids. He's still gonna be a big name, and you just got to be at a point where, like, look, just move on to the next one. You got beat this one, and I still think he's gonna be one of the best watches in the sport for however long he wants to do it. It's a shame that it took as many fights as it did for Deontay Wilder to get to these Tyson Fury levels, that it took that many times. And a lot of people are going to go out there and gonna say, you know, he was exposed. Why do you go out there and you let him, you harbor this ineptitude of letting him get away with everything and having this ultimate eraser? And, you know, I saw our guy Teddy Atlas say that, you know, we saw that he's not a good fighter. People fail to realize, like, this is a sport that you don't have to just go win everything on points. It's a way to win, but there are multiple ways to win. But how can we sit here where a guy just got paid $25 million guaranteed to fight Tyson Fury in a rematch, had 10 title defenses? How you're going to say that's not a successful career at the age of 34 is beyond me and beyond stupid. We do this with boxers all the time, and it really, really, really infuriates me, you know, because we sit here on these microphones and, you know, a lot of us don't know Jack Bleep, and a lot of us don't know what mental fortitude that takes. We didn't know that Tyson Fury would have the mental fortitude to go in there, completely switch us out. And we don't know what Deontay Wilder, what kind of work he's put in to get to where he is and what he's turned himself into. That guy's an amazing fighter. He's been a great champion and is one of the most fun shows in all of the sport. He really is, because he's one of the guys where, look, maybe he's not fighting the best name that night, but I'm going to watch because I want to see if he's going to absolutely erupt his opponent and just annihilate him. The Dominic Brazil fight, the rematch against Bermain Stiverne, still great shows. He turned them into internet memes. It was hilarious. But I know, because I know what's coming for Deontay Wilder. I know that this is going to be, you know, the Monday morning, I guess, what is it if it's not quarterback in boxing? This is going to be the Monday morning sparring session where we're all going to be like, oh, this guy, no skill set. How do you not learn these types of things? Look, here's what happened to him. I mean, this is the truest of true. He didn't lose a boxing match to Tyson Fury. What happened to him was Tyson Fury decided, you know what? I'm a lot bigger than this guy, and I'm going to come forth, and I'm going to impose my will on him, and I'm going to throw everything I can at him, and let's see if he can get me off. Let's see. That's not a boxing match. Like, he out-brawled him. He went in there and he bullied him. So, I don't know what you thought was, you know, you can't teach Deontay Wilder in the gym to be 40 more pounds and 3 more inches. He, and you know, especially when you have that shot that, this is the other thing. You know, if this was a fight where, you know, you're talking about him getting schooled and, he's getting peppered up all day. You get knocked out. You get knocked out down like that in the third round where you're trying to gather your wits the entire time. You want to hear about how you're going to be able to set up that range for the right hand and all that type of stuff. This guy's just fighting for survival. It's a hard life. And he showed a lot of heart and didn't want to go out. He was pissed at his corner that they stopped the fight. So, look, that guy's been an unbelievably entertaining watch. The interesting thing is going to be what comes next for these guys. We'll get into a little bit of that next on Fighters Fury.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Welcome back, everybody. Fighters Fury continues here. You can text the show 67974. Texts on The Ticket are driven by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. Can always tell you when it's a big fight because the text line is blown up. Texter writes in, Tobin, have any reports come out about Wilder's camp on health or anything else? He didn't look right before the fight even started. I know he said something to Bernardo afterwards about his leg. I don't think you want to get too into it because, you know, you don't want to be the guy who's looked upon as making excuses. Would it shock me if something came out lower body? No, it definitely wouldn't. The balance was really bad with Deontay Wilder. It's just tough to know if you chalked it up to if he had an injury or if that was Tyson Fury rattling his brain. I don't know. But yeah, he didn't look right. But also, listen, it wasn't very long before he got knocked silly. You know, 3 rounds is not a long time. We're talking about what, 7 minutes, 7-8 minutes before, you know, you're in the depth of what's in front of you. So, I haven't heard anything yet. Has anybody? The real question becomes: this is what I want to know. Anybody ask Tyson Fury why he licked Deontay Wilder? Because I'd like to know that. I know, like he said in the they said on the broadcast, and Joe Tess made a point to this where he's like, Fury wanted to taste blood, and now he has. That's not okay, man. You don't lick your opponent. That's weird. That's weird. It's creepy. It's really fine worthy. What was it? He gave it a little chameleon. Blah, blah, blah. Like he was out there looking like Shakira during the halftime show. What the hell was that? You're already kicking the guy's ass. Now you gotta lick him? I mean, it just seems like you're running up the score at that point. You're going to go lick the guy? Did anybody ask him about this? I tried finding it on Twitter because I didn't get a chance to watch the post-fight press conference. It's a late night for me. I was at the D-Wade thing, Wade talk. So we went from Wade press conference. I didn't even see the second half of the Heat game. Went from Wade press conference to the locker room, then left, watched the fight in the parking lot. I watched the fight on my phone in the parking lot. This is where I watched it because I was like, I didn't know how much time I had. I walk out of there from the arena, and I knew this was going to be a challenging night. The only place I knew that was showing it that was close, because I'm talking like when I say I left, Gerald Washington had just gotten knocked out by Charles Martin. I was like, uh-oh, that means I probably got like 30 minutes, 30 to 35 minutes, because I'm talking you got the package, anthems, and, you know, ring walks. I knew the ring walks were going to be elaborate. Of course they were. You know, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. These guys put on a show when it comes walking to the ring, which I love. I was looking at my options, like, I think Hard Rock Miami might watch it. And I don't even remember the last time I've been to Hard Rock Miami, the one at Bayside. I think they might show because I feel like they show big UFC fights. And sure enough, I went to their Instagram and they had it. You know, if I had time, I would have gone to, like, the Cheetah. That would have been ideal. But I'm talking, like, I knew I left that arena. I could have hit traffic. I could have hit who knows what. You know, but then I was thinking to myself, well, what if I go there and, you know, what if I go there and then all of a sudden I get there and, you know, it's no bueno. So, look, had to bite the bullet and did the old ESPN Plus, bought the pay-per-view, watched it on my phone. It hurt. I'm not gonna lie. But it was a good show. Like, that's the one thing. Whenever, you know, you fork over the pay-per-view money, there's a couple things. One, I am happy now that we do have an avenue where I don't have to be at a television to watch the fight. But it's, you know, if I am going to fork over $80 for a match, I would like to be on my couch watching it, typically. But this is one of those ones where you're just like, yeah, we're, you know, it's good. You got this show in the morning, you got to see it, and that's that. That's that. So I just want Len Weiner to know, I'm sorry, go Len. I will be, parking might be a little bit more expensive that night. Wink. If you wonder why parking at Bayside cost $110 instead of my typical $30, now you know why. It's going to be like, why is this expense report so heavy? This, I'm like, yeah, D-Wade night. They were gouging prices. I don't know what to tell you. Another texter writes in, hey, Tobin, Deontay Wilder has to get a new camp. Has to. He was a one-trick pony, albeit an obliterating one trick. Caught up with him. He has to become a better boxer. I get you. This has been said about Deontay Wilder's entire career. I don't know what camp can grow him that size. I got to be honest with you. Like, I know what you're saying. I'm not saying that it's wrong. Like, ideally, yeah, you'd like a guy with that kind of power to sharpen the skill set a little bit more, I guess. Guy's been really good. He's been really, really good. And what he didn't lose a boxing match. He lost to a guy who was 6'9", 270-plus pounds, who decided to fight like a guy who was 6'9", 270-plus pounds instead of a guy. Typically, Tyson Fury, I would say Tyson Fury fights like a, let's say like a 6'3", 180 fella. You know, light on his feet, dancing, you know, sharp punches. This time he was just like, he fought him like a, he fought a lot like, you know, like a bare knuckle brawler. Like it was ugly. He went in there straight forth, throwing some pretty wild shots at him, to be honest with you. And the one that got him was really, but almost got him in the back of the head. Didn't get called or anything like that, but really, 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 really hurt Deontay Wilder. And so at that point, he's fighting a guy who is, you know, he's fighting a wounded bird there. Like it's pretty curtains in there because Deontay's on the catch up. Because now you're talking about a guy who not only doesn't have those boxing skill sets, but now is hurt bad. But I will say this, you know, anybody who wants to question Deontay Wilder's heart or anything like that, or the ability to get through, he's been through trouble. I mean, go watch his first fight with Luis Ortiz, and watch the trouble that he got through to go and win that fight. This is not a guy who hasn't been able to weather the storm before. But Tyson Fury is a better fighter than Luis Ortiz. And I love Luis Ortiz. Luis Ortiz is one of the best on the planet. Tyson Fury is the best on the planet. So in regards to what comes next, we're going to find out if Deontay is going to implement his rematch clause, which is, I guess, has to be picked in 30 days. Now, I don't know what that means for timeline of fight because I'm not a doctor. It just, the way I would figure is busted up eardrum. That's no bueno. Like, I don't know. I don't know about how long that's going to take to recover. But you have a loss like that, you're Deontay Wilder. I would hope that this is not a guy we see in the ring again until December. If you're Tyson Fury, he's got three more fights on his contract with Top Rank. So if he's got to do the rematch with Wilder, it's not unsellable because Wilder does have that knockout power. But you think about a guy who many people thought that he should have lost the first fight on score, even though he had the awesome knockdown in the 12th round. And now you have this performance. It's not one I'm dying to see. It's also, I think, one of the problems is this fight was so heavily promoted, I feel like it needs a little bit of breathing room. That's just me. I would like to see Tyson Fury take on Anthony Joshua because I would like to see somebody have all the belts. Even though I don't even, you know, Anthony Joshua can waltz around with as many belts as he wants. That, what that moment was for Tyson Fury yesterday was him reclaiming the throne. It really was. Because he never got to defend his title. You know, we talk about lineal championship and all this stuff. He beat Vladimir Klitschko in a terrible fight. I mean, it really was not an entertaining watch. But he never got to defend the crown. You know, it was talked about, it was pushed back, and then he had his breakdown. And we never got to see what the reigning heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury, would be. You know, and so they did this great marketing push of the lineal championship, whatever the hell that means. You know, like, it's just a thing they throw out there. Fine. But from my standpoint, because, you know, one of the funny things is, like, you know, Lennox Lewis retired on top. Like, it's not a thing. So, but to the point is, last night was his first opportunity to finally really proclaim, I'm the guy at heavyweight. That's it. And I don't think Anthony Joshua has a rightful place at the throne right now. I really don't. He's number two. He's number two right now. Because here's the thing. That performance that Anthony Joshua had against Andy Ruiz versus what Tyson Fury did in his rematch against Deontay Wilder, they're not even in the same stratosphere. Because AJ went out there, got knocked out by Andy Ruiz on short notice. He came back and fought the safe fight in the rematch against Ruiz. An unmotivated, out of shape, not taking it seriously Andy Ruiz. And he fought the safest fight possible to go get his belts back. Tyson Fury probably had the blueprint to beat Deontay Wilder already. And he decided, F that, took a lighter, lit the blueprint on fire, and built a new house from scraps. That's what he did. Now, he had a hell of a foundation. He's 6'9", 270. He's a big boy. But that's not the style he goes and wins fights. And that's how he went and decided to go do it. And to go take the championship like that, a really dominant victory, where you make the most intimidating guy in the sport look like that, there's no question to me who the heavyweight champion is. So they can fight for the unified belts, and you could say this is to determine who the true champion is. To me, it's already determined. Tyson Fury is the true heavyweight champion of the world. Now, that doesn't mean that Anthony Joshua can't go in there and try and go win the true heavyweight championship of the world. But I know how that fight promotion is going to go, where they're like, oh, all the belts on the line, finally unified. That's great. I'm glad. I would like that to be decided. But to me, it's more so the story of, you want to talk about who the challenger in this fight is? That's Anthony Joshua. It's not Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is, bar none, the heavyweight champion of the world. He's the guy right now. Okay? That was him reclaiming the throne last night. That's what that was. As far as Deontay Wilder, what's next for him? If he doesn't do the rematch, if he takes some time, if he decides not to implement his rematch clause, which I don't know how important that is. You know, I don't know what the money stipulations of it. Obviously, the money was good, so, you know, there is that. But Deontay Wilder, unless he just completely falls off a cliff after this, I don't think is a guy who's not going to be able to get back to a title fight with Tyson Fury. So would it be better for him to go out there, you know, as this person says, maybe get a new camp, or maybe throw some kind of wrinkle, some new fresh coat of paint on a refurbished Deontay Wilder, maybe go fight an Andy Ruiz and knock him out, and then you find your way back to who won out of Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury, because both, I think, are great. One, you have him and Tyson. We know that they do good business. And then there's the longtime rival with Anthony Joshua. I don't think it's a terrible idea for Deontay Wilder to take a break, heal up, and maybe take on a guy like Andy Ruiz, beat him, and let AJ and Tyson Fury scrap it out, and, you know, be there to collect whoever it is at the end of it. Or maybe take on a guy like the hell is the guy? Why is it escaping my name? Dillian White. Dillian White, who's, you know, been chomping at the bit to get a Wilder fight forever. You know, maybe go do that. I don't know. But I think that it would be better served if Deontay took some time before fighting Tyson Fury again. Because I don't think it's one of these things where he's gonna be unable to ever get that shot again. We're talking about a division as great as the heavyweight division has been, and it is great. It's been better than ever. We're still talking about a playground that has six real contenders in it, you know? And he's one of the money guys, so he's always going to be in the talks. We're back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Welcome back, everybody. Fighters Fury here on The Ticket. Talking a lot of Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder today. I see Uncle Luke is saying it's fixed. There's a take. This game's from Chris Mannix. Jay Deese, who is the head trainer for Deontay Wilder, says assistant trainer Mark Breland threw in the towel, says he didn't think he should have. Interestingly, he says, interesting, rarely the assistant trainer has the authority to do that. I mean, here's the thing about authority to do that. You don't give him a towel. I mean, really, like, we're talking about, you know, whoever has the towel has the authority to do that, because I don't think the ref's going to ask any questions. I mean, he's going to see the towel and stop the fight. You know, he's not going to be like, whose towel? Who did that come from? The damage is done, my friend. The towel is in the ring. So that's an interesting one where they're saying, he doesn't have the authority. Well, if you give him a towel, he's got the authority. You know, I don't know. You know, it's one of those things, too. You know, look, that coach's staff's going to take a beating today. I get it. But look, man, this is the funny thing. You go in there and you're just like, this training staff, do this, do that, you know, get it fixed. It's like, you know, Tyson Fury's had a lot of success, and he drops trainers by the wayside. You know, a lot of the times it's the fighter and the fighter, what he can tune up. You know, maybe let's do this, okay? Let's just say you give Deontay Wilder Freddie Roach, okay? Let's just say as an example, okay? You think that turns him into Manny Pacquiao? No, he is who he is and has done pretty damn good being who he is. This is the thing about boxing, guys. And I guess that, you know, maybe being a mixed martial arts fan also has put me in position where, you know, it's okay when these guys lose fights, right? It's okay. It's not always like this thing is the worst thing in the world. He's got to get rid of this. He ran into a guy who whooped his ass. He went forth. Let me ask you something. Were JD's or Mark Breland, are they able to make Tyson Fury smaller? No, they went in there and they thought they were going to fight. Here's the only thing they missed up on, okay, if you want to talk about from a coach's standpoint. They went in there, and Deontay probably takes ownership in this too, is they went in there thinking that Tyson Fury was full of crap, that he's saying that he's going to come forward and try and hurt me. And they probably thought he was going to sit there and dance around the ring like he did the last fight, and he didn't. You know, he threw nearly, I think, 20 more power punches in the seven rounds than he did the entire fight the last time around. The guy had a completely different game plan. He flipped it on its head. That's credit to Tyson Fury, though, because, you know, he's been with Sugar Hill Stewart for, you know, literally a hot minute. So a lot of the times we talk about this stuff, trainer switches, all that type of stuff. I'm not saying it can't have a benefit, but a lot of the times it's window dressing. It's stuff that's just kind of all thrown out there. Deontay went out there. He got beat. He got beat by a really good fighter. Tyson Fury is very, very good. And has a new level of respect for me because I picked Deontay Wilder to win. I thought Deontay Wilder was going to get him because I had a lot. Look, this guy going out there beating guys like Luis Ortiz. Maybe you guys aren't impressed by stuff like his wins over Luis Ortiz or not. I am. I know how good Luis Ortiz is. I know nobody wants to go fight that guy. And to see what that guy's pulled off. Now, has he become – one criticism I think is probably fair of Deontay is – his power has gotten so outrageous, and the wins that he were getting were so outrageous. Did he become too content in always looking for the knockout and never just trying to go win the fight as it goes? I think that's a fair argument. But I don't know if that's something – I don't know if new coaches are going to fix that. I don't know. And I think it's silly to, you know, people are like, well, what advice – What about the terrible advice? Give me the last corner, the last piece of corner advice when a guy is that hurt, where you're like, wow, that really turned the fight. Of course, he's looking to you're stacked up against it. You're a fighter with a broken eardrum, with your ears bleeding, your mouth busted up. You got the cards are stacked against you. You know, it's like criticizing a basketball player for missing a half court heave. Like, what did you draw up there, Spo? It's like, well, we had 0.7 seconds left. Sorry if it wasn't horns. What? So, I think a fair criticism is, has Deontay Wilder become, did he get to the point where his knockout streak got him too content in always being able to go get the knockout? I think that's fair. But he's still a guy who has 40 plus fights, 42 wins, 41 knockouts, or 43 wins, 42 knockouts, whatever the hell the number is. It's a great percentage. That's how he goes and wins fights, and he's had a lot of success doing it. So I can't get too caught up in the trainers. Like, he was in there with a fight, and he got hurt, man. Now, I mean, the dude got licked. He got licked. But you know how bad it is that you allow a man to lick you in the ring and you can do nothing about it because you're so exhausted. I mean, come on. It's wild. Texter writes in, Styles make fights. Joshua is more technically sound than Wilder and bigger. I think that Joshua beats Fury. If by bigger you mean muscles, he's bigger. He's not bigger, like taller than Deontay Wilder. And is he more technically sound? He just got knocked out by a 6'1 fat guy less than a year ago. On short notice, is he more technically sound? One of the biggest things that got ripped upon from Anthony Joshua. None of these guys are more technically sound than Tyson Fury. Where would he have the advantage? I would say, yeah, he's got more of a well-rounded boxing skill set than Deontay. He's a gold medalist. But he is still very flawed. I mean, he is a guy, you want to talk about a guy that allows himself to get hit a lot. Anthony Joshua is right there. But I do think that, you know, we have seen him get through the fire with Vladimir Klitschko, which was a great performance by him. But, you know, he's still, it's a big size discrepancy. Make no mistake about it. It's a big size discrepancy. And I think that, you know, we just saw, the thing about it is, think about this. What we just saw Tyson Fury do to Deontay Wilder at his size, a guy who's 8 inches smaller than him. I'm trying to remember what they were for the first fight. Now the second fight, Andy Ruiz was even heavier, but I think in the first fight he was lighter than what Tyson Fury is now. So smaller than what Tyson Fury was by a lot of inches and a few pounds. did to Anthony Joshua worse than what Tyson Fury did to Deontay Wilder. So just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind when it comes to the upcoming matchup. But I do think that should be the matchup. I do think there are issues with it, though. Like, don't get me wrong. This is one of those things where you got Eddie Hearn here, who is king of not making fights. I mean, it's always, oh, I went out there and I offered such and such this, and we couldn't make it happen. They weren't able to make the Wilder fight happen. So I wouldn't hold my... I would like to see Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury next, I wouldn't hold my breath. The thing that sucks about it, I'll tell you one thing, not to be xenophobic about it, but, man, London's got them belts hostage now. Welcome back to big heavyweight boxing at 5 p.m. That's going to suck. Because it was fun. Like, that was the one thing. You can't say... When you have that whole day of anticipation to get to a big fight, it's fun, man. You think about it all day. You throw on a fight in London at 5 p.m., it's just not the same. You know, and I know a lot of you blokes out there, you love your soccer, and you watch soccer at like 11 a.m. Yeah, bully for you. I'm not there yet, all right? I'm going to watch Inter Miami. I'm looking forward to it, but, you know, I'm still not on board with watching this Premier League or Champions League in the midst of the morning. That's for the blokes, man. I'm not there yet. So, you know, you stick my championship of the world in the middle of the afternoon, I'm a little bummed out about it. I got to be honest. It's a little depressing. But I'll tell you one thing. Over in London, they are crazed for it. They're crazed for it. You heard it in the crowd last night. That crowd was, they were way more pro Fury than they were Wilder. And a lot of that just has to do with they're more passionate about it. Like, they take a real stock in their fighters being from their country. I mean, this country, we can't even agree on naming a road after Dwayne Wade. So that's politics for you. I mean, we argue about the dumbest stuff in this country. They're just like, oh, the dude's from London, I'll root for him. Let's go. The guy's from a gypsy from Britain, I'll root for him. That's how they'll roll. You can text the show 67974. Texter writes in, Tobin, you were right when you say that Fury didn't outbox Wilder last night, instead outpunched him. That aside, do you think that someone with better technique can hold and want to be a brawler a bit better? That's all I would be saying. Sharpening technique. If Joshua did the same to Fury last night, you could probably surmise that Joshua would win as well. You can get a lot of tomato cans with one punch power. Yeah, but that's where I stop, man. Like, he hasn't beaten tomato cans. Look, in the early goings of his career, he did, but... You know, this guy has not been taking on tomato cans this part of his career. He hasn't been. I mean, he's half a second away from knocking out Tyson Fury. I mean, like, what are we talking about here? Don't act like you can't act like you forgot what you saw. I mean, it's just that you got to give credit to Tyson Fury changing the technique, because that's what I thought we were going to get. I thought we were going to get a guy dancing around, staying at a distance, being faster, being more elusive, making Deontay Wilder miss, and just hoping that he would do it in a more dominant fashion, that, you know, he wouldn't be able to rob at the judges. Instead, he's just like, F the judges. Tyson Fury, he was like, nope, F the judges. I'm going to come in here like a big grizzly bear, and I'm going to maul Deontay Wilder. And, you know, Wilder's power has gotten to such an intimidating spot right now where it's like, you know, who would be crazy enough to go in there and go with that style? But Tyson Fury is a different kind of crazy. That's why he licks a man during a fight. It's great. He's a nut job. That's how it rolls. Another text in. Heading down to the light for a Mark Light milkshake, man. Enjoy it. Enjoy Canes and Gators today. Who won that game yesterday? Anybody know? Did the Canes? Did the Canes come out on top? Because I know that those Jethros, they won the game, the first game. I've been so stocked in Dwayne Wade stuff, I haven't been able to keep up on what went down, because I don't want Jethro swaggering in here on Monday all in her jorts and her mullet. You know, it's enough already. Got to keep it right. So I'll get into I'll try and get you guys an episode this week to get in the UFC from yesterday. I know that Paul Felder was talking about retirement after the performance yesterday against Dan Hooker, and that may be it for him. But I didn't see any of the fight. I don't want to lie to you guys because I was so stocked in what went down. Canes lost an extra yesterday, by the way. Back-to-back extra innings losses. These damn Jethros, man. I tell you. Gonna be walking in here with their moonshine and their Lynyrd Skynyrd music. Hell out of here. Drives me nuts. So I'll get you a recap this week at some point of the UFC and what went down and hit you up with that because I didn't get a chance to see it. It was going on. The only fight I saw was Emil Meek versus I don't even remember. The dude's name escaped me. He was winning when I was watching it, but it was in the midst of Spo was about to start talking. I can't be watching UFC during a press conference. Very rude to do that. I don't know if you know. It's frowned upon. It was frowned upon. I want to know where the guys went and watched it last night. It seemed like there was some party that was going on crazy at Hyde yesterday with Udonis Haslam and D-Wade and all that stuff. Wild, man. Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in, listening to the show. Miss any of it, download the podcast. Available on Apple, radio.com. We'll have some clips up on YouTube. Subscribe there as well. Tobin Show. You can look that up on YouTube. Subscribe there. It'll be up at theticketmiami.com. You can watch it there. It'll be there all for you. A lot of platforms for you. But I always appreciate you guys who tune into us loyally Sunday mornings from 10 to 11. And we will talk to you guys same time, same place next week.